Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's installment of LexLine, brought to you in conjunction with our friends at Rug Radio, where we talk about the latest developments in Web3, crypto, blockchain, and NFT law. As always, nothing we discuss should be considered legal or financial advice. If you have a specific legal question, you should consult a lawyer. You should do it privately, not on a recorded Twitter space. If you miss the live broadcast of LexLine today, you can always catch it on Apple and Spotify podcasts. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the broader implications that I'm thinking about when it comes to the Tornado Cash criminal indictment. The Tornado Cash indictment is an interesting development in the space. It's been pretty widely reported, but basically the TLDR is that the founder, one founder is at large, one has been arrested in an indictment in the Western District of Washington. The indictment charges that the founders of Tornado Cash facilitated the commission of money laundering, operated as an unlicensed money transmitting business, and conspired to violate international sanctions laws by facilitating the transfer of funds to OFAC-sanctioned nations and entities, including the Lazarus Group. I've previously talked about the details of the Tornado Cash indictment, but what I haven't talked about is what are the broader implications for the space and what potential legal precedent could come out of this case. Generally speaking, it's really hard to pin liability on a software provider that creates a general purpose software application, which is then used by others to facilitate the commission of crime. You would have to somehow prove that there was knowledge on the part of the founders and creators of the software application that they knowingly enabled or profited from the fraudulent activity. And in this case, the fraudulent activity would be utilizing Tornado Cash as a mixer or a tumbler to conceal the source of cryptocurrency that's being moved around the world. It's well known and largely reported that one of the key features of Tornado Cash is its anonymity and the tools that are put in place to ensure and preserve the anonymity. Basically, it works as a washing machine for crypto. You take crypto and put it in, and it pools in the mix with other wallets and other crypto holdings, and then it spits out that crypto into a newly designated wallet, and it makes it difficult to trace the origins of that crypto. Many advocates for this technology like it because it does provide some degree of anonymity for transactions that are otherwise very transparent on the blockchain, and there are very staunch defenders of this decentralized protocol. However, in this particular instance, Tornado Cash has gotten in the crosshairs of OFAC, and it has been designated as having been used to facilitate the transfer to sanctioned nations, and now it's been criminally indicted by the DOJ. So the questions that loom now are whether the fact that this is a decentralized, albeit a for-profit decentralized protocol, can the founders be held responsible for what others do with that protocol? This debate is definitely drawing a lot of attention. One of the challenges the government's going to have in this case is proving that knowledge component. What can we draw from the indictment? Well, the indictment doesn't have a whole lot to say on this because the indictment is really just very bare bones allegations. So it'll be interesting to see what the ultimate evidence is. But if we look at paragraph 50 of the government's indictment in the Tornado Cash case, we can get a sort of an idea of what their theory of prosecution may be here. Paragraph 50 reads, quote, "Despite knowing full well that the Tornado Cash service was being used to launder criminal proceeds and that the Tornado Cash pools contained large amounts of ETH representing criminal proceeds that were commingled with other customer deposits for the purpose of concealment, the Tornado Cash founders took no steps to implement effective AML or KYC programs. On the contrary, the founders took steps to increase the anonymity features of the Tornado Cash service and to increase the degree to which they could profit from the large volume of money laundering transactions that were facilitating and participating in through their operation of the Tornado Cash service. For instance, on or about March 2nd, 2022, the Tornado Cash founders implemented the Relayer algorithm. This increased the anonymity-enhancing effects of the Relayer network by making it easier for more Relayers to join the network through purchasing TORN tokens, which is the native token of the Tornado Cash protocol. So knowledge is going to be something that's going to be critically important in the government's case. And in this instance, it would appear that the government is taking the approach that the founders essentially took no steps to initiate or implement effective AML and KYC programs. Now, this suggests, and there's a lot of debate in the space about this as well, this suggests that Tornado Cash should have complied with the money service licensing business requirements and collect customer data. Now, this is a debate that's really being hotly contested in the space because the MSB requirements under the Bank Secrecy Act generally apply to financial institutions and to money service businesses. And one of the debates is, should a decentralized software application like Tornado Cash be subject to the MSB requirements under the Bank Secrecy Act? There is points to be made on both sides of this issue. FinCEN has provided some guidance in this respect, and it would suggest that even in an unincorporated association or a DAO or a DAP, a decentralized application, that money service business rules would apply. So this ties into the count in the indictment alleging that Tornado Cash essentially was operating without the proper licensure in place, meaning they did not obtain a state or federal license to act as a money transmitting business. And if they were required to comply with that license, then they would be required to collect customer information, to keep records on file of that information, and to take measures to prevent the use of the platform for money laundering purposes. So this has very far-reaching implications for the space, because if this comes to pass, if it comes to pass that the defendants in this case, either through a guilty plea or through a motion practice or a trial, are found by a court or jury to have, number one, failed to obtain the proper licensure under 18 U.S.C. 1960 to be treated as a money-transmitting business, or facilitated money laundering by failing to implement proper protocols to prevent and to actually bolster the anonymity features of the platform in order to facilitate sanctions violations. Well, there could be the trifecta here of three convictions: money laundering, unlicensed money service business, and facilitating sanctions violations. So there are very, very broad implications for the space and what could happen here. I see my old friend Ira has jumped in. Ira, I'm doing sort of a monologue at this point, but if you have some time and want to join the conversation, just give the ask and I'll be happy to bring you up. But I'm sort of looking at and talking about what potential long-term consequences may come from what's happening here with respect to Tornado Cash. One of the other things that's curious to me is we saw in the Uniswap class action lawsuit that the district court in the Second Circuit in New York made some really interesting findings with respect to how far liability should go under civil law when it comes to these decentralized applications, and in this case, Uniswap simply being that wallet provider, whether the liability civilly should stretch to the harm that people do in using that protocol to facilitate, in that case, what were alleged to be scam tokens. And could we see similar arguments like this come down with respect to the Tornado Cash case? In other words, the Tornado Cash case touches on the failure to implement protocols to make it clear what's going on, to identify the parties to the transaction, and to not obscure the parties to the transaction. Could the defense in the Tornado Cash case cite the district court's ruling in the Uniswap case as support for the argument that Tornado Cash, a decentralized computer code underlying a particular software platform, could it be, as a code provider, criminally liable for how third parties misuse the platform to commit money laundering crimes? I'm thinking about that from this perspective because it's obviously not authority, it's not binding precedent what the Second Circuit found in its dismissal of the lawsuit and the class action case brought in the Uniswap case, but there are certainly nuggets that can be pulled from that to support this notion that a decentralized application should not be responsible for what others do with it. Now, this entire argument hinges on whether Tornado Cash was required to comply and register with FinCEN as a money transmitting business. And what happens in this case and what happens with respect to that particular finding in this case could have very broad implications for other DeFi protocols in the space. Because as I've talked about before, a money transmitting business is a business that is required to register with FinCEN and to comply with FinCEN's anti-money laundering standards, including conducting KYC and monitoring and reporting suspicious transactions. The government's case is going to no doubt be that if Tornado Cash had implemented FinCEN requirements, despite the fact they're a decentralized entity in the space, if Tornado Cash had complied with the money service business requirements under FinCEN, had taken measures to comply with anti-money laundering standards, had identified customer identification, and had a system in place to flag suspicious transactions, that Tornado Cash would not be something that could be broadly used to evade sanctions laws and to facilitate money laundering. So this has very, very far-reaching implications for the space. Again, it's going to all tie back into whether the government can prove that the founders, either knowingly or with some modicum of willful intent, failed to institute the necessary protocols to protect against money laundering abuse by this platform. Tornado Cash is based in New York, so they are apparently subject to U.S. jurisdiction. The question now remains, were they required to register as a money service business? So I would keep a close eye on this one, because I think what happens in this case with respect to how the DOJ pursues proving their case, and more interestingly from my perspective, what the defense team is going to allege with respect to the tenuous connection that I think they're going to raise between what's going on with Tornado Cash as a decentralized software protocol and what others are doing with that protocol. Now, if the government can come up with significant evidence showing that the founders were knowingly ignoring their obligations to register, were knowingly facilitating and actually in any way through their actions encouraging the use of Tornado Cash to avoid sanctions and to facilitate money laundering, well, then that certainly is going to make an interesting factual debate which a jury may have to hash out. The loss numbers in this case are tremendous, which makes it highly probable that this case may go in the direction of a trial, and I'm going to be very curious to see how things proceed. There is some precedent that the government can point to. Very famously in the space, we have the Van Loon decision, which could have not only significant implications for the Tornado Cash case, but with respect to other DeFi protocols in the space. In that case of Van Loon, It was found that OFAC did score a win against the DeFi sector and against this notion that just because something is associated with DeFi, that it is not required to comply with OFAC regulations. So if we see an extension of this Van Loon decision to Tornado Cash and to what it was required to do and to prevent others from doing and what it was required to keep as far as record keeping, well, then we could see a ruling in this case and we could see a decision in this case if it goes up on appeal that a lot of other DeFi platforms who engage in similar conduct or fail to prevent others from engaging in similar conduct could face very similar either civil enforcement action or even criminal charges for failing to implement the necessary protocols to act as a licensed money exchange business in the United States. So that's sort of my breakdown today on what I'm looking at with respect to the Tornado Cash case and what particular far-reaching implications it may have. The case is definitely full of interesting facts. Whether the indictment is going to be fleshed out and proven factually in a court of law is, of course, what remains to be seen. But the charges are serious, and the consequences, if convicted, are obviously significant. So thank you to everyone who joined in today. If you missed it, if you jumped in late, you can always play it back on Twitter Spaces, or you can catch it. I'll put it up on podcast format via Spotify and Apple iTunes podcasts. Hope everyone has a wonderful day, and stay tuned. We'll be back on Friday for more. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out with LexLine. Have a great day.